Hey everyone, welcome to 2017 and welcome to the January edition 2017 of SQL Unplugged. Hope you all had great holidays. We're here with Rohan. Rohan, how are you doing?
Good, how are you, Scott?
Good. So we're all back getting engines revved up from
holidays.
Yeah, we were just talking about kind of hard to get back in the swing of things. But let's kick this off because there's a lot to talk about. You and I were talking before. Let's start by our last show in November, kind of recapping Connect and announcing SP1.
Correct.
So let's just spend a couple of minutes. And FYI, so if you have a question, those that are watching, if you have questions, feel free to ask us a question through the live, and we'll get to those. Don't be shy. We love answering your questions. How was over the last, what's the excitement that we saw from Connect from over the last couple months, from SQL on Linux, SP1, all the kind of, how's that been received?
Yeah, it's been actually, I think for the first at Connect, we announced the first public CDP of SQL Server vNext. Yeah. And of course, even prior to the announcement, just given the Linux thing, that had generated a ton of excitement. I mean, the number of downloads have just blown past anything that we've seen in the past, right? I mean, just across, if you take a look at the history of SQL Server, all the releases we've done, I don't believe we've ever seen the level of excitement that we're seeing in the first public release. Yep. Usually by the time you get to a production CTP, and then we've already engaged a whole bunch of, customers who are, kicking the tires and, maybe on their path to going to production, there's a lot of excitement. But this early on in the cycle, it's actually been great to see. I can't remember the number of downloads, but I think one of the things I was hearing from Slava late last week was it's in the several thousands a day. We don't know what's going on, and we're sort of trying to still investigate that. But
just a little excitement.
So that, and especially, like going into, after Connect, going into December, we felt like, the excitement might die down and we may have to rebuild it up, with the monthly release that we go do in Jan. But it's actually been pretty phenomenal. And the other part was also, it's also very encouraging to see is, it's not just from the classic, people who worked on Windows. I mean, there's a lot of Linux community that hadn't looked at SQL Server in the past. There's just a ton of excitement. You see the downloads, for, like Red Hat and Ubuntu on the non-Microsoft stack developers like Java, Node, this website that we created called ak.ms/sqldev, where you can pick your language of choice. I mean, it's actually, when you look at the clickstream analysis of that data, it's actually very, very encouraging that this move that we made on, Linux and, supporting all the non, Microsoft client stack in a first-class fashion has really, really resonated very well.
Is that, because I was going to ask that as you were talking about that, is there, what's the ratio between, current customers versus those that are like, we have never run SQL Server, but since you're supporting Linux, what's that number of those?
I don't know the exact number on the top of my head, but just given the volume, at least a quarter of the set of people who are deeply engaged right now are the ones who are trying out SQL Server for the very first time.
So we're reaching a whole new group of people.
Yeah.
Finally.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. And, these are the set that we are learning a lot from, right? Where, you look at, just their expectations around what it means to be a server product. Yep. And we've been consistently talking about it. Just to make sure that we meet the native experience for developers, for manageability, for SQL Server running on the back end of Linux. And there's just been a ton of learning. There are ISVs that didn't look at SQL. I mean, this is another interesting data point. There are ISVs that didn't look at SQL because Linux wasn't an option. And we are in active discussions with a few of them just to sort of look at, how do we create the roadmap from here till RTM?
Yeah.
Where you have some of these supporting us pretty strongly.
And what about the excitement around because part of SQL on Linux, but then this programmable surface area crossed editions. And we're seeing just as much around.
Yeah,
that.
I mean that's the I think as a principle, I think I had mentioned this on the last show as well. I mean the amount of excitement that we've seen just from even our own community.
Yeah.
Right. It's actually been very we expected this to sort of resonate really well, but again the response has actually been truly amazing.
Yeah.
Just in terms of how the community is looking at SQL as a really strong viable option just across the board all the way from Express to standard web and enterprise, and this principle of like, look, as a developer you shouldn't have to worry about a feature being only available in the enterprise edition. I think that hit the mark exactly.
One
how
code base, one
right, and we are sort of taking this further, right? The focus on developers, it's basically essentially what I'd say is you know, the big push around, you know, sort of re-engaging fuel started with SP1, but this continues. A huge thing we are looking at is, you know, as we speak to ISVs, you know, who think of moving from a packaged option to a SaaS model, or even enterprise developers who are building custom apps, where they sort of want to think about cloud as an option in their roadmap, they may not be there yet. A key question that comes about is, hey, how do I build my app in a way that works across on-prem and cloud, right? And so not only is, you know, there's a principle around making sure that the developer surface area is consistent across all editions, be it on-prem or in the cloud with SQL Azure and SQL Data Warehouse, but I should be able to, as a developer, I should be able to focus on building my app just once. Right.
Yeah, and, whether it's on-prem, across editions, or in the cloud.
In the cloud, or if I have a hybrid model. Yeah. Because otherwise it becomes extremely expensive.
Yeah.
And there's a constant concern, which is, hey, look, am I building something which if my strategy suddenly changes and, you know, substantial portions of our infrastructure starts moving to the cloud, how will it work? You know, what will be the cost of doing that? You know, so that's something that we're paying a ton of attention to.
Or whether you're running against Linux or anything like that. Right?
Exactly.
It's good to see, given, you know, from our last show in November, that, you know, the thinking with all the holidays, Thanksgiving and things like that, and, you know, and all the other holidays, that the excitement would die down. But, you know, what we're hearing is that no. That's just as strong coming into the new year as it was, you know, 2 months ago. So let's shift a little bit, because you alluded to this. Talk about expectations in this calendar year. What are we seeing, you know, and what's kind of the, not really the plan, but, you know, what, how are we focusing on calendar or this calendar year?
Correct. I, you know, it's sort of one of the things, you know, just from a, you know, process standpoint, like, you know, we think about, you know, planning in 6 month increments, right? You sort of course, you know, the changes happen, you know, there's a lot of agility built in, but roughly, you know, here's the time to look at, hey, when you think about spend the first couple of weeks, like figure out, hey, what are the big things we want to make sure we land in the first half of this year, then what happens in the second half? Of course, it's, you know, the whole process is very continuous. It's not like, but, you know, there's formally we come down and close and a few things. You know, so for Azure SQL Database, you know, like continuing the whole excitement that we have around the SaaS ISVs, right? Just partnering with more and more of them, you know, making Elastic pools, you know, much better just in terms of manageability at scale. How do you think of, you know, I think about like thousands or 10,000 databases that I need to manage as an app. How do you make that easy? You know, having a low cost option, you know, like, you know, for the pools, having a higher density option just to, you know, all this sort of goes towards just the price point, right? What, as in, as a SaaS developer, if I'm betting on the platform, what are my margins? So that's a very key area of focus. Another big thing that actually we are pushing hard on, this is again based on the learnings that we've got from our enterprise SQL customers who are thinking about transitioning to the cloud, is, you know, investing in making migrations much easier, right? Just when I say migrations, it's not just migration tooling, that's one part of it, but, you know, how much does of my infrastructure really needs to change if, you know, if I need VNets, if I need certifications of ISVs, as an example, how do you make that super easy? So that's one of the very, very key area of focus. I mean, with SQL Azure today, I mean, you can already migrate. I mean, it's pretty seamless, but really going into the details of the, you know, when you think about a complicated app deployment that's there on-prem, which for whatever reasons, whether it's cost reasons or, you know, flexibility in terms of provisioning reasons, or, you know, like tying into the intelligence thing that we're adding with SQL Azure that people want to move, how do you make that? So internally, we call this project Cloud Lifter.
Okay.
Like, how do you make, so there's a huge focus around that.
There's,
you know, like we sort of rethinking just at a technical architecture level, like how do you leverage the fact that storage and compute, you know, when databases were designed, you know, they were designed for a single node, you know, you have your storage attached, but, you know, in the more distributed environment that you're already using, you know, how do you make, you know, that architecture very efficient and scalable, so you sort of can have very, very large databases, right?
Yeah, in the cloud, you don't have access to that infrastructure.
Correct.
So, you know, how do we rely on the speed? And
correct. So if somebody was building, you know, several tens of terabytes of the database, like today, there's a lot of thinking and planning that goes into it. It's not just about having, you know, the IOPS and a disk attached, right? And how do you partition your data? How do you ensure, you know, your recovery happens faster? You don't spend time when, you know, hardware goes down. So there's a lot of, you know, deep thinking around that we're going through. Again, this is sort of also more longer term thinking. So that's sort of on the Azure SQL side. You know, the SQL Data Warehouse side, again, the growth of that service has actually been phenomenal. It's one of the fastest growing services that we have. And there, you know, again, it's a lot of the next year's focus, or, you know, CY17's focus is going to be responding to customer feedback, whether it's around, hey, we want larger and larger data volumes, yeah, better compression, better distributed query processing. How do you, so we're learning a ton just based on workloads. There's whole integration points around, like, how do you extend the reach of Azure SQL Data Warehouse into other types of data, okay, right? So that's a key area.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a, just out of a question, but, you know, we talked about early before the show started, you know, this, our planning and looking across all the database services. So
right,
SQL, SQL on Linux, Box product, you know, SQL, SQL database, SQL data warehouse, and those. Do you look at those more of a, you know, how do you look across those? Because you've got different teams, they're not siloed.
Mm-hmm.
So is there, you know, do we sit down at the beginning of 6 months and go, look, what do we need to do across all of these to make
right,
sure?
Right. So the principle essentially is, you know, we have all these suite of products and services. We holistically think that there's an aspect of planning that goes across, which says, yeah, if I'm a developer, how should I think about, like, how, yep, how should we plan where all these don't come across? You know, I should be able to use on-prem, Azure SQL database, data warehouse. They should be consistent in terms of experience. I mean, I should be able to have, you know, write queries that span across, yep, you know, on-prem and cloud. So there's the audience question, which is, you know, when you sit yourself, you know, put yourself in the shoes of the customer, then there is individual services itself, right, which are being used predominantly. You know, there's a customer more closely tied to, let's say, on-prem SQL Server or SQL Database or SQL Data Warehouse,
yep,
or running SQL Server and virtual machines. Hosting is a big business for us. So then each of those teams essentially look at their customers' feedback and make
okay,
a team. But yeah, I mean, from an audience standpoint, we try our best to ensure, you know, there's yeah, obviously challenges, but we try our best to make sure there's no seams across these.
Okay. And you alluded to it, David, at the end of the developer. With all these different, you know, how do we think about, because I had this actually conversation with Tobias and Sanjay and Lindsay over the last couple of weeks. How are we thinking about the developer? What's the developer story, right? SSMS is out there. You got SQL Server Data Tools. You've got, you know, we sort of saw hints of other things. But, you know, and with SQL and Linux, how are we really thinking about the developer story? What's our approach?
So there's a few principles that, you know, we've outlined as we think about, you know, the first thing is, you're being extremely flexible and, you know, giving the developers the choice of the platform.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't sort of get that to change, right? Which is, yep, you know, you're a developer who's, you know, using Java or using Node or using ADA.NET. We have to be first class across all of them. Right? That's, yep, that's sort of one of the key principles that we've had in terms of our investment. So it's no longer just, you know, you do a feature and the only way it's exposed is through ADA.NET,
yeah,
as an example. There was a point in time when, you know, a lot of our features for other client drivers were a little delayed. So,
yeah,
you know, as a principle, we're establishing that. So that's, you know, key point number one. The other thing is just around this journey of PaaS that we've been on, right? Where, you know, when you think about the cloud, the PaaS services made a lot of some of the administrative tasks, which, you know, if you're a developer, had to worry about, a lot more commoditized, if
yep,
you will, HA, disaster recovery, backup, you know, patching, things like that. We're sort of pushing the boundaries even further, right? Even today, to build a very strong performant app at the data tier is not easy. You have to think about
yeah,
designing your schemas,
yeah,
designing your indexes. You know, if you have parameterized queries, you know, how do you think about, you know, just given the, you know, some of the challenges we
right,
face with respect to our query plans. So it seriously takes a lot of, I'd say, smarts and understanding of the core platform itself. And our principle or our goal, if you will, you know, for developers is, like, how do you reduce that time too? So you've taken all of the manageability pieces out, but the goal of the intelligent databases is, how do you make a lot of these other data tier tuning things a lot more simple and intuitive that we can learn?
Yeah.
So most of the time as a developer you're spending on is the business logic of your app. Like, this is another key principle, which is
you're focusing on the things that you
yeah,
want to focus
correct,
on.
Correct. Like,
right?
if you focus, like, you shouldn't worry too much about, oh, did I design the schema correctly?
Yeah.
Like, relational algebra is not easy. Let's face it, right?
Right.
And so, like, how do you sort of make that simple? Yeah. So that's a key point, and yeah, you'll hear a lot more about it this year,
okay,
just around intelligence, you know, query tuning, where
yeah,
we're getting to a point where we are very confident in terms of some of the changes that we suggest that we're going to do that automatically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
so
once you get
cool,
the permissions.
Cool.
Yeah, so imagine, like, all of a sudden you wake up and your app performance keeps getting better and
yeah,
better.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we're looking at is we did QDS, query
yeah,
data store is a big one. How do you push the boundaries of that by doing, you know, automatic plan correction? That's one of the things that we're starting to pilot with. Yeah. We have several thousand databases in SQL Azure.
Yeah.
And finally, the thing that I said, which is we know that the deployments happen on-prem only, hybrid, and cloud.
Yeah.
So how do you make the developer's life easy where you build once? And you don't have to worry about, hey, what if the backend environment changes?
Yeah, coding once.
Right. So, yeah, it's all, I mean, you know, I think last year I felt pretty good. I mean, I don't know if you saw the DB Engine's ranking, SQL Server was a database of the year.
Yeah, that's
which was
awesome.
I mean, this is like the People's Choice Awards, right? I mean, you know, it's not like you influence them or anything
like
that.
It's
just very, No, it was extremely exciting and humbling at the same time, you know, just that. But I think that sort of goes to tell you that, you know, we sort of re-energizing the developer base about SQL.
Well, and it goes to what you meant, because, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, we're going to spend 2017 listening to customers. And I'm sure you've done a lot of that. So, you know, how do you determine, I'm going to focus on these, plus listen to the customer? Because there's, if you're heading down, you know, listening to the customer and taking their feedback, plus looking at, you know, how do we build out Query Data Store and things like that?
Yeah.
You know, is there a possibility, I don't know, how do I phrase this? Is there kind of getting caught up and going, oh, let me listen to the customer, or what, weighing one over the other?
Yeah.
Does that make
sense?
So
usually, I think, yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, there's always more than we can do, just even in terms of customer feedback. But we look for themes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one classic way of like, hey, is it just a one-off request, or is the feedback that we're getting? And that's one of the things that, you know, the product management team or the program management team, if you will, sort of keeps an eye on throughout the year in terms of these patterns of feedback. And then we stack rank them based on, you know, the maximum impact that we believe just based on what we've heard. The other thing is also around a point of view that we have, right? Like this whole notion of intelligence database.
Yep.
Just based on, you know, the telemetry that we're collecting and the thing that we're able to do is really groundbreaking. I think we've spoken about this in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
So significantly advancing that capability is something that we're going to pursue.
Okay.
Right.
And we didn't get where we were at today by not listening to the customer, right?
Absolutely,
right.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's taking that and saying, oh, what are we building into the product?
Correct. Yeah. And you have to sort of, I mean, this is one of the things, right? You have to know the purpose.
Yeah.
Like, why do you exist? I mean, it's not just, okay, let's go keep shipping more and more database features. It's really about where do we believe applications in the future need to move towards, right? Where do we believe the industry has to move?
The intelligent apps, like you're
talking about. The intelligent apps,
right?
And that's something that's very core, you know, to how we approach future innovation. So, yeah, pretty excited about that.
You also mentioned earlier big data, or you didn't say, you know, more the non-relational type of, what are we thinking about? Because right now, you know, we talked about, you know, Polybase, you know, our integration, but where are we, you know, are we going to continue focusing on down that path much stronger?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this is, I think we've sort of discussed this as well. Polybase was just the first step, right? I think the problem still remains around data virtualization, which is, you know, if I have all these data silos, it's very hard. The app suddenly becomes very complex if you have to build something that derives intelligence across the board, right? You want to sort of program to a consistent set of SQL APIs, if you will, and then underneath the covers, the platform needs to take care of doing the right thing, whether it's respect to pushing down queries, doing the right optimization, and getting you back your results. So that's a part, like when we think about entire focus on intelligence, that's a very key part of it, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the brain's back in building 16, you know, what is there, you know, how big is this, you know, we talk SQL Server, the relational side, but how big is this movement toward understanding the non-relational?
I would say it is pretty big. And it's also, I mean, the other thing is it's also not new, right? I mean, if you go back and look, you know, SQL Server historically is looked at, I mean, when we did CLR or when we did XML, you know, the selective XML index, or when we added file stream, you know, enhancing full text. So there's always been this play around non-relational data or semi-structured data or you know, the capability that we added to support, you know, the JSON format. And, you know, you can always push the boundaries, right? But it's, and that part is actually keeps getting more and more important, right? And again, you know, when you think about how databases play in the entire data lake, right? So there's these, you know, lakes of like data that's getting created with things like, you know, Hadoop that's being there, or different kinds of data warehouses that are coming up. I mean, you look around and every day it seems like there's another vendor that's opening up, right?
Yeah.
So when silos and, you know, different kinds of data become a reality, that will pose a challenge. It already is posing a challenge to customers, right? So you know, going and solving that is a pretty important part of what
we do. Yeah, because you talk about data lake and, you know, that's, you talk to the big data guys and there's just a huge movement around that. you know, is there, you know, are the two teams talking to each other going, hey, how can we leverage each other?
I mean, we, you know, all the time, right? This is, I mean, one of the things that we constantly look at is, hey, how, you know, how are our solutions coming across? When you think about the data portfolio from Microsoft, you know, like, you know, and then it's quite frankly, just to be in all transparency, it's very challenging. And it's not just a Microsoft thing. I think across the board, when you take a look at the options that exist, it's not easy as, you know, customers or developers are thinking about their own digital transformation. So usually one of the things that we land up doing is we work very closely with our customers. Like we have these proof of concepts that are going on all the time with very, very large companies who are thinking about modernizing because they've never gone through a change like of this magnitude. You know, upgrading from one version of SQL to the other across their state itself is a huge deal. Now imagine, oh, look, let me think about my hybrid strategy or move to the cloud. I mean, it's it's hard.
All right, just 2 minutes left. Let's go back to this intelligent database. Is this, I'm trying to figure out the right way to phrase this. Do customers, is this something that customers understand or is this going, hey, we have this, we're helping you by putting in this intelligent database. Or, you know, is this something that they can leverage or is this sort of our new concept?
It is. So I think, you know, it's interesting. Whenever you have this conversation around the intelligence database, people are like, man, this sounds like very science fiction. Right? You know, is this really true? Like the stuff that it takes me so much time to figure out, you know, how are you able to do it? And then, you know, when we walk through, look, a bunch of the things that are behind this is not new, right? I mean, when you think about, like, you know, all of a sudden, of course, machine learning is the new hot word, but, you know, statistics, I mean, these things have been around for a while. Yeah. Understanding patterns, understanding anomalies. So just given the telemetry data that we have, for us, it, some of these decisions for apps become relatively simple to do, right? Because you're looking at not just your database, but the queries that are coming on your database against the several million that we have. And then, you know, you're able to sort of do pattern matching of, you know, what worked, what didn't. And then when you make a mistake, how do you learn and quickly get better, right? This stuff, it's not easy. Like you cannot do it on a per database. These things, right? So, yeah. So it is. I actually say, you know, we need to do we need to continue doing the job of educating our you know customers about our point of view, where we believe the world's moving towards. But then, yeah, I'd still say it's very early.
And what's awesome is that we can take how we learned, you know, from Azure SQL Database and all the telemetry we got to there, you know, we can, that's something we can go to the customers and go, look, here's how we learned.
We have customers, you know, like when we have the SQL 16 discussion, customers are like, hey, can I get all that intelligence you've built into SQL Azure? I don't want to move my database, but, you know, can you get me that? I mean, so, you know, that's an example of thing we're looking at. Okay, if it's the value prop is clear. You know, how do you, can you extend that? And, you know, certain things, of course, are technical challenges that you need to look into, but overall, extremely excited about that.
All right, so let's wrap up. One question from Nico. Will we see more programming languages integrated into the SQL Server in the future?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, right? Of course, I don't have a roadmap, Nico, for you to sort of, but absolutely, I think there is, I mean, you know, obviously, if you take a look at how we built R into the database, it wasn't just for R. I mean, we essentially laid the roadmap for an extensibility architecture that, you know, would enable us to sort of add more and more. And then, and I won't say anything more than that, but you should be hearing things.
Yes, stay tuned. All right, we actually have to wrap up. Nico, we will take your next two questions into the next one because we actually have to wrap up. So, Rohan, thank you. This has been Education. This is awesome.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thank you. All right, everybody, thanks for watching. We will see you in February.